Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship on this Reign of Christ Sunday. Next week, a whole new church year begins with the first Sunday of Advent. Today's homilist is Bishop Jean. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the Reign of Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, our Lord and King, grant that the peoples of the earth, now divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his gentle and loving rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 23, beginning at the first verse. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made me with an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Would he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? For the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 132. O Lord, remember in David's favor all the hardships he'd endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Rise up, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your faithful shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my decrees that I shall teach them, their sons also forevermore shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will reside, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless its provisions. I will satisfy its poor with bread. Its priests I will clothe with salvation, and its faithful will shout for joy. There I will cause a horn to sprout up for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed one. His enemies I will clothe with disgrace, but on him his crown will gleam. Gracious God, you have taught us in our Savior Jesus Christ that you are present wherever there is love, and that two or three who gather in his name are citizens of your eternal city. Feed us with the bread of life, that we may grow to recognize in every human heart a sign of your presence and an opportunity to serve you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with the fourth verse. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account of the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or do others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew. Am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. but as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today we are celebrating the reign of Christ the King. It's a power feast of the church year, you might say. The reign of Christ the King. The rulership of the King. That's pretty much as powerful as it gets, being the King, the ruler. But with this particular King, it's a matter of paradox. A paradox is something that seems to make no sense till you examine it. At first glance or first reading, it seems absurd, self-contradictory. Upon examination, though, you get to an aha moment when you realize that it makes more sense, often profound sense, than you ever imagined it would. Back when I was a teacher, I used paradoxes a lot. They made the kids think, and the aha moments made concepts memorable for them. We're surrounded by paradoxes. I love them. Take insults. You may remember some years back, Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live did a little monologue about being taught by a nun who was, well, she used a word that's considered an insult unless you're talking about a female dog, right? And in that monologue, she praised the competency of women who are called that ugly label by those who would keep women down. And she praised them even while she claimed that ugly label. Since then, many women continue to use that word, reclaiming it as a reference to women's strength and their determination. And we've seen the same thing at work in racial and ethnic communities as well. Members of a community take a slur or an insult that's used against them, and they adopt it. They take a word intended to keep them down, and they use it to rally the community's strength and determination to rise up. Something used to keep people down becomes their tool of empowerment. That's paradoxical. Doesn't make sense to embrace what is used to repress you or oppress you, does it? And yet, those words can be transformed into tools to build a strong and a determined community who works together to end the very repression represented by the word. It's all about power. The power used by the oppressor is turned into the power of the oppressed who resist and eventually overcome. Something very satisfying about that, I think. Today is the reign of Christ the King. But the gospel comes from the passion narrative. Jesus before Pilate, summoned before Pilate. You don't summon a king. A king summons you. Here we have Jesus being summoned before Pilate. Jesus is in Pilate's power. And this is the reading they've given us for the Sunday that celebrates the reign of Christ the King. Pilate confronts that issue head on. Are you the King of the Jews? He asks him straight out. And Jesus answers him, my kingdom is not from this world. Now, Pilate must have been confused by that, being a creature of flesh and no son of God as Jesus was. My kingdom is not of this world. What's a kingdom if it isn't a geographical location under the control of the king? It made no sense. And we know the end of that story. Jesus is condemned to death on a cross. When I read the lections, I was delighted. Whoa, paradox upon paradox. I am so there. So let's unpack them, starting with the end of the story, that cross. Well, we know the cross. It was a Roman tool of death, of destruction. It was the very symbol of a condemned person's ultimate, complete failure. There's Jesus on a cross. He dies. Failure. But not for us Christians. For us Christians, the cross becomes the symbol of everlasting life, of restoration, of victory. And not only the symbol, but the means, the very means by which we attain that everlasting life, the means by which we are restored to right relationship with God, the means by which we have victory over sin and death, the cross. Now, how is that for a paradox? The symbol of ultimate loss of power becomes the very point of power for us Christians. Through that cross, we become heirs with Christ. We become the sons and the daughters of the King, God Almighty. Now that's a paradox. Kingdom bit. We know what a kingdom is. It is a territory within the boundaries of which a king rules. But Jesus claimed a different kingdom, a kingdom without a boundary, a kingdom not of this world. His rule is not over a territory, but over all territories, over all peoples, over the universe itself. Jesus is Lord of all. By rejecting the limits of an earthly kingdom that can be overthrown, he has created a kingdom of all that is, which can never be overthrown because everyone and everything is within the limits of its boundary, boundless. His kingdom is not of this world because his kingdom is this world and all worlds. How cool is that? Paradox. And then there's the thing about power. Jesus in chains, flogged, crowned with thorns, crucified, being captive and tortured and mocked. How is anything such as this something other than powerless? Well, Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And when the Son of God, himself divine, undergoes such treatment, it is anything but powerless. Because he willingly underwent the torment of his passion to win forgiveness for us sinners. He chose to endure for us this horrendous death when he could have turned Pilate and his accusers into ash. When he seemed totally powerless, he was at his greatest power of all, winning forgiveness and eternal life for all humanity. Praise God. Paradox is interesting and it's fun. But what does it mean for us as Christians proclaiming Christ as our King, proclaiming God as our loving Father? Because it all comes back to us, doesn't it? Well, as Christians, we are heir to the kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the King. That sounds good, doesn't it? How inviting. Our thoughts may turn to palaces and crowns as we consider that idea. But the paradox was not limited to Christ. We inherit the paradox as well. So what does it mean for our royal position? It means that we, like Christ, embrace humbleness. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, right? We are called to be humble Christians, not prideful. That's why he tells us not to judge, because judgment is an earthly power, and our power is spiritual. We are spiritually royal. So yes, we are called to be humble. How humble? Humble enough to become servants. The sons and the daughters of the King serve others. Not are served, but serve. And which others do we, Jesus' royal family, serve? Not the wealthy, not the royal, but the least of these. We serve the poor, the broken, the outcast, the reviled. Whoever is lowest, those we will serve. And more, whoever hurts us, those we will forgive. And more, whoever hurts us, those we will bless. And more, whoever does evil to us, to them we will do good. And like Christ, we show our greatest power when we do these things, when we forgive the hurts, when we return good for evil. We share in the power of Christ himself. Indeed, we let Christ living in our hearts become Christ acting through our words and deeds. We demonstrate our greatest power of all, the power to die to self, so that we can truly say, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And when we do, Christ indeed reigns as King. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops, for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community and for those who live in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvests for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, for prisoners and captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions, as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. May the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.